Anybody having difficulty voting? If I'm not mistaken, we're missing about 10 votes, which is not an insignificant amount. Give you a few more seconds until, if you want to manifest yourself. All right, well, with this, voting is closed. With 21 votes in favor and 4 abstentions, this motion passes. Congratulations. Before we move on to the next motion, I just want to mention that I assemble the voting records. Most motions we've passed or we've discussed until now have had, on average, 26 votes, something like that, which is ridiculously low for a council of about, well, supposedly 35 people, 33 counting empty seats, maybe 30 counting absences. I just really want to urge you to vote. It's urgent. Urgent. You can't be a counselor and represent students without voting. It doesn't make any sense. It's your job. Please vote. All right. Well, with this, the motion has been approved, and we'll move on to the next motion. The motion 11B, motion mandating the creation of an anti-surveillance master plan within this move. Councillor Kusa, Councillor Javed, you have the floor for 2 minutes.
Awesome. Dear Council, Ganya and I hope you're doing well. So today we're presenting a motion that was created in response to grave concerns of multiple groups and students on campus regarding racist surveillance. So students at McGill have long been active in debate, activism, and defending the issues that they believe in. The recent wave of online harassment and doxing is both compromising students' safety and freedom of speech, as well as stifling debates on campus. Racialized students and students of color are particularly susceptible to be the victims of racial surveillance. Organizations like, but not limited to, Canary Mission and Campus Watch are posting individuals' profiles on their website in an attempt to silence dissenting opinions. Posting personal information, such as individuals' pictures, address, and occupation, silences people and creates harm and compromises their safety. The information posted on these websites serve as a list for any viewer to respond or act with malicious intent and has been used as a blacklist for companies not to hire named people. Many McGill students, staff, including Palestinian, Arab, and Jewish students, have been the victims of blacklisting and intimidation tactics in recent years due to their pro-Palestine activism. These shocking practices work to repress marginalized voices, prevent meaningful debate on campus, and stifle social change. Furthermore, students involved in Uyghur and Tibetan liberation advocacy, as well as Hong Kong-related activism, has faced online attacks and death threats. These forms of intimidation and attacks impact students' mental health, physical health, and discourage their enrollment on campus. Some students have reported that it has prevented them from applying to leadership position on campus. So please note that these examples do not serve as an exhaustive list, but rather highlight how students have been victims of racist surveillance. So Ganya?
Additionally, since the implementation of Quebec's Bill 21, a law that discriminates against public sector workers who wear religious symbols, Muslim students and student teachers have especially been the target of harassment and bullying. Many Muslim students, including executives in the Muslim Student Associations, have reported surveillance and intimidation when advocating for local change, such as the reversal of Bill 21. And they have also been the targets of intimidation from the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. For the equity policy related to social justice, the SMU is mandated to protect racialized students who are now being the target of racist surveillance. As such, this motion seeks to establish a clear channel of support for students who are faced with racist surveillance on campus. Moreover,
Thank you, Councillor. Your time has elapsed. Councillor Kusa, you wanted to motion to extend the time?
Yeah, could we just extend the time to 45 seconds?
Sure. Is there any opposition to extending the speaking time? Seeing none, you have another 45 seconds.
Danya, were you done? Or
Give me like 10 seconds. As such, the policy aims to combat and ultimately end racist surveillance and doxing at McGill. So it commits a smooth demand that McGill University condemns Blacklist organizations. It also mandates the internal portfolio to publish a master plan that commits Smoot to a comprehensive strategy aiming to combat racist surveillance.
So as we present this motion, we'd like to remind everyone that this is not the place to debate our political stances. That is not the goal of the motion. Rather, it seeks to protect students who do not currently feel safe and protected on campus. We believe that it is SMU and McGill's admin's responsibility to protect students and ensure that they feel safe on campus. And moreover, as we enter the debate and question period, we would like to remind everyone to be mindful of their tone and the way that they address the people who have drafted this motion. And yeah, so.
Thank you, Councillor. Give you a little bit because it took 8 seconds to decide on starting to talk. Okay. With this, we'll now be taking a 5-minute question period. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand now. VP de Louvrier.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and as well as Councillors Kusa and Javed for drafting what I think is a very necessary motion. How do you think that such a master plan can be implemented and worked with on a more broader level than just our McGill bubble, seeing as the Canary Mission, for example, has impacted even outside of McGill a lot of people? And how do you think that we could also help apply this master plan with other student unions?
All those wishing to speak.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, VP de Louvrier. So the good thing about our master plan is that the way that we're envisioning it, not only will it give resources to McGill students specifically, but it also gives resources to students who have been doxxed and the victims of racist surveillance generally. So, but I do believe that it's our first responsibility is towards the McGill community, since we have been elected by McGill students, but it's always good to help everyone in the process.
Thank you. Councillor Javed, do you want to add to the question?
Yeah, just adding to the answer. In terms of collaborating with other unions on campus, so this motion would create like a body that would work on the master plan. And definitely when working on the master plan, the group can talk to different unions on campus, whether that's PGSS or other unions, and work in collaboration with them. So I think the master plan would encompass many things that other unions are also concerned about.
Thank you. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand now. Councillor Wan.
Thank you very much for presenting this motion. I had a question for both Yara and Danya, whoever wants to answer it. So this motion seems to target the executive committee. So I think my question is, since this affects directly the executive committee, would it make sense for the people to be in charge of, drafting this master plan to consist of the executive committee solely and to allow the executive committee themselves decide on who their commissioner should be and who would constitute their committee to draft such a master plan?
Thank you. Councillor Kusa.
Thank you for your question, Councillor Wan. So we have actually drafted this motion in collaboration with the VP internal and with the knowledge of all of the executive team. So and VP, and it basically mandates the internal portfolio to work on this master plan. So it will be worked on by the VP internal with our collaboration and the collaboration of the political commissioners. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. We still have time for a few more questions. All those wishing to ask a question. Councillor Wong.
Thank you, and thanks, Councillor Kusa, for that answer. I just wanted to clarify that that means that the VP internal and or the executive committee have agreed upon that these are the these are the necessary members to have on such a drafting, or sorry, on such a committee.
Councillor Kusa.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, exec team, but yep, basically.
All those wishing to ask a question. Councillor Abouali?
Sorry, I'm not a councillor, but I'm
That's what I thought. Amazing. You have the floor for a question.
Okay, wonderful. So I was just wondering on what basis we would be able to call this. Oh, by the way, thank you so much to the representatives, Kusa and Rania. Thank you so much. This is very necessary. I was wondering on what basis we would be able to advance this if the administration does not recognize these things as a form of racial discrimination. So I was wondering on what basis we might deem it as such if they don't recognize it that way.
Thank you for your question. Councillor Kusa.
Hi, Maya. That's actually like such a good question. And part of the motion mandates the VPUA to actively advocate for McGill to recognize these lists as harmful and targeting unproportionately like racialized students. But the SMU is independent from McGill, so we can do whatever you want. And we have already condemned Canary Mission, but I am personally, and I know that Councillor Javid is very passionate about getting McGill to also protect their students, because that's the bare minimum.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. With this question period has elapsed, we'll now be entering into debate period unless there's a motion to extend question period. All right, so we'll be entering into debate period. All those wishing to speak, please raise your hand now.
A point of order. I think Councillor Wan raises hand to extend the question period.
Oh, my apologies. I thought it was a leftover. Councillor Wan?
Thank you. I'd like to motion to extend by 30 seconds.
That is 100% in order. My bad. For motions, if ever I like forget about you, just speak up. Sometimes I'm just going to assume your hand is up as a remnant. It's the play with the Zoom, right? So just feel free to just like interrupt me and speak up. If you have a motion or a point, that's fine by me. All right, is anybody opposed to an extension by 30 seconds? Seeing none, we'll extend by 30 seconds. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand now. Councillor Wong.
All right, thanks again, Councillors Kusa and David, for your motion. I noticed that in the preamble you mentioned that groups include the students for Hong Kong rights. I apologize if I butchered that group's name. But I was just wondering if the groups of students involved in Hong Kong, Tibetan, and Uyghur student rights were consulted in the drafting of this motion, or consulted at least in the drafting of this motion and our master plan.
Thank you for the question. Councillor Javed?
I'll let Yara take that one.
Councillor Kusa.
Okay, thank you, Ganya. We have consulted with the Divest for Human Rights group. A lot of these clubs we have tried contacting, but they are inactive this semester. But we have done thorough research and we have consulted with students regarding these matters. But it is currently not possible to consult directly with the clubs, but we have consulted members of the of some of these clubs, if that answers your question, Councillor Wan.
I'll allow a bit more time so that Councillor Javid can also answer.
And I would also add that a lot of the coalitions like Divest for Human Rights and Divest McGill in general have overlapping membership with various other clubs like Tibet, Students for Tibet. So even if those clubs are not running this semester or this year, the students that have been historically been involved in those clubs are involved in these coalitions. So I think we've done like a fair amount of consultations.
Thank you. Councilor Kusa, I see your hand, but we'll be moving on to debate period at this time.
Can I just like one little sentence, because I just wasn't clear. Please, can I?
If it's a clarification, I'll allow it, just so that we can stay clear.
No, basically these groups are under the HR, in case that wasn't clear.
Okay, thank you. Just don't make it a habit. All right, so now we're moving on to debate period. All those wishing to speak, please raise your hand now. You know, yeah, you could have taken the first speech here and just corrected yourself. VP UA, you have the floor.
Thank you to Councillor Javed and Councillor Kusa for this motion. It's very thoughtful, and spaces like SMU have historically been hostile to groups of marginalized students, especially students who have who participate in certain advocacy work, particularly racialized students who participate in such advocacy work. So I'd just like to encourage everybody to support this. I think this is a huge and very important step in changing the climate at SMU and in student government generally.
Thank you. All those wishing to speak, please raise your hands now. Member of the gallery, Abuali.
Hi, sorry. I just have I have a question. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
I just had a question about what I had previously asked. Will a new motion need to be crafted and advanced towards GA about accepting those specific forms of racial discrimination as they are?
Point of order.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could the speaker ask a member of the gallery, Abueli, to repeat or rephrase the question? I think it cut out just for a little bit.
Sure. Could you rephrase the question, but also could you also just remind us what you were talking about before?
I'm really sorry. I was asking about on what basis Representative Kusa is able to advance this motion if for pro-Palestine or Palestinian students, racism is not acknowledged in their EDI policy, any form of racism towards them. So I'm just wondering if they'll need to craft another motion in addition to this motion to advance towards the GA. Does that make sense?
For me, it does. I'm hoping I see some hands. So I think it does. Thank you. Just before we continue on, VP de Louvrier, that was a point of personal privilege, not point of order. Just again, everybody uses point of order. You're throwing it too easily. It's an attack. All right. Councilor Javed, you have the floor.
Like, feel free to like cut me off. I mean, that's not voting order. So just like, if I don't answer your question, you can raise your hand again. But from what I understand, you're saying that in order to change the university's EDI, if we have to go into a GA or pass a motion in the GA, since this motion mandates the VPUA and VPX Journal to advocate to the McGill University to condemn like the Blacklist organizations and as well as like the surveillance on the students mentioned or the groups mentioned in this motion, which includes Palestinian and poor Palestinian students. I don't think there needs to be like a motion passed in the GA mandating the VPUA and VP external to advocate to the university to change their EDI. I think this motion does that in itself, but if you feel that there needs to be like a stronger stance and a motion in itself to advocate for that change, you could just email us, me and Yara, and we could definitely work on that with you. Let me know if that answers your question.
Thank you very much. All those wishing to speak, please raise your hand now. Councillor Kusa.
Yeah, I'd just like to reiterate whatever Councillor Javed said. I think that the motion on its own does a good job at mandating the VP external and the VP UA to work towards McGill recognizing the discrimination against pro-Palestinian, Palestinian, and Arab students. But if you don't think that it does, please do message us and we'll work on like a motion that clearly states that they should work on that. But it is mentioned in that motion, so I think that would be sufficient. And also it's very important to understand that like SMU and McGill are two different entities, and SMU works to like kind of advocate for you at the McGill level. So we don't share the same stances. For example, we are pro-divestment, they are not. But honestly, thank you so much for your question, because it's so important to like clarify that. So
thank you, Councillor. Thank you. Member of the gallery, Abuwali.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that. That made total sense. Thanks for answering.
Thank you. VP Durugi.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to help clarify slash make a few comments. As this motion is written and stands, it will be part of the VP University Affairs and the VP External Services mandates in future years to advocate for this topic to the university. But beyond that, there are already systems in place, bodies through which particularly the VP University Affairs is able to advocate to the McGill administration, such as, but not limited to, Senate, for example. And I think I can speak for both VP Downey and I when I say that we look forward to advocating for this.
Thank you. Member of the gallery, Abuwali, I think, do you have a question, or is it just your hand, a residual hand? I will assume it's the residual hand. Thank you. Okay. Member of the gallery, Kutsu.
Hi. I'm allowed to, because this is debate period, I'm allowed to just state. I don't have to ask a question, right?
Yeah. You can just speak.
Okay. Well, as a McGill constituent, I just wanted to just state towards all the voting members of council right now that this motion is really important in that surveillance and doxing pose fundamental threats to, one, democracy for a student body like the SMU, because as was outlined in it, it threatens accessibility to this as a democratic body to various students, and it threatens student safety. And so as a constituent who votes and sees, you know, this body to represent a sort of democracy on campus, I would hope that members see how this is a very important motion for the democracy of the SMU. But moreover, it's also one that is that allows for the greater realization of EDI principles, a body of principles that both—
Thank you very much. If nobody else wishes to speak, you'll be able to speak again, but we do have a woman speaking to. All those wishing to speak, please raise your hand now. You go for it, member of the gallery.
Just very quickly, that this, you know, will help the realization of EDI principles that both the McGill administration and the SMU have made claims of supporting. And so I would hope that, you know, in recognition of that claim, that this motion will go through. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do want to mention before we go on with the debate period that, as always, I want to show appreciation to the members of the gallery, the students who do come and express their opinion directly within Smooth Democracy. I do think it's a very important thing to do, and you're taking time out of your day to come here and really voice your opinion strongly. Yeah, so I show my appreciation to you. With this, anybody else wishing to speak, please raise your hand now. The political campaign coordinator.
Yeah, hi, this is one of the political campaign coordinators. So Andreas, in case, just for the record. But I just wanted to thank both councillors for bringing up this motion and for also having included us campaign coordinators in kind of the consultation process. I think I speak for both Hannah and myself when I say that, you know, we work with a lot of groups who would be affected by this, who are affected by, you know, doxing, blacklisting, surveillance on a regular basis. So I think it's really important for SMU to show that it has the back of the students who face these kinds of things. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Member of the gallery, Abu Ali.
Thanks a lot for that, Andreas, and thank you, everyone. I also just wanted to reiterate if the motion hasn't made it clear or if perhaps it isn't public knowledge that doxing like this is not in the least, it's extremely harmful, and it's not something that's just like a random list that doesn't have any effect on anything. It hinders future employment for anyone that's on these lists. They are charged with false claims, and there have been instances where members, McGill students even, when doxxed, have been put on, sorry, have they been, their information has been used in order to solicit really inappropriate things like sexual services for monetary exchange. So it's not a situation to be taken lightly in the least for anyone who is still wishing to abstain from voting or disapproving the motion. I just wanted to state that.
Thank you very much. With this, even if there may be more speakers, I would like to hear if there's a motion to call the question, as I do feel the debate has become circular. Councillor Kusa?
Yeah, motion to call the question.
Thank you. VP UA?
I'll second.
Is anybody opposed to calling the question? Seeing none, the question has been called and will now be entering into voting. So you can find the vote at within the councillor voting directions. It's the second link, and I'll send it in the chat again. It's not open yet. Give me a second. Okay, should be open now. Let me know if there's any problems. We have reached 25 responses, but it does seem that some people from the previous vote have not voted. So I'll give it a few more seconds if you want to make it clear that you have a problem. All right, with this, voting has been closed. With 24 votes in favor and 2 abstentions, this motion passes. All right. Okay. We're now reaching 2 hours of meeting, so I would suggest we take a short break for people to be able to take a minute out of your screen. If somebody wants the motion for that, I invite you to do so. Councillor Wan.
I'd like to please motion for a 10-minute recess.
That is in order. Is there a second? Councillor Javed?
Second.
That is in order. Is anybody opposed to a 10-minute recess? All right. Seeing none, we'll be back at 8:22. Okay, we are resuming the Legislative Council public session at 8:23 p.m. So if I'm not mistaken, we were at motion 11C. The motion regarding the Vice President's sustainability and operations. Vice President Poulin and Councillor Claret, you have the floor.
Thank you, Speaker. So this is a motion that has come around Legislative Council for a couple years now. I want to say three, but I'm not exactly sure about that number. Basically, for a long time, there was no need for a Vice President Operations because we didn't really have a building as it was under construction. But as I was doing my consultations for this motion and debating whether or not we needed a Vice President Operations again, I spoke to the operations team, the ancillary services manager and the building director, and they communicated to me that Vice President Operations is not very needed anymore. There's been a lot of work in the constitutional reformations that are supposed to pass maybe next fall, not sure on the timeline, to completely remove the Vice President Operations from the Constitution. So this is basically just prolonging the decision that was made last January that stated pretty much the exact same thing. I borrowed a lot of language from that motion to just extend it until the constitutional reforms are put in place and there will be no more Vice President Operations, and the operations roles will formally be distributed between the remaining executives. So that's basically what this motion says. It just extends the mandate that's been adopted for the past 3 years through motions pretty much exactly like this.
Thank you very much, Vice President. We'll now be entering into question period. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hands now. Councillor Ingfeld.
Hi, so should the motion not be approved and there is this Vice President, it gets reinstated, what would the financial impact be? Because I imagine they would be paid like a typical exact salary. So would that be diverted from other things? Would anything else be affected because there's this new need for money to be diverted somewhere else?
Thank you. Vice President Poulin.
So maybe the Vice President of Finance could better answer, because I'm not sure exactly where that money has gone, but it would mean paying another salary, which is another reason why we've deliberated so carefully about whether or not we wanted a Vice President of Operations, because all the execs and I believe that this job can be handled by, that running this society can be handled by six executives, and having a seventh would, with the same salary that we all have currently, would cost more money and take away from student services. But I would ask Eric, or Vice President of Finance, to clarify that.
Vice President Sader, you have the floor.
In a real sense, it wouldn't impact much. $30,000 is a decent bit of money, but we'd move things around, and in reality, SMU is never up against the wall to the point where that would bankrupt the company or anything. But it would be essentially money being diverted from other things in the budget. We always underspend our budgets, but the reality is we would need to we'd be $30,000 less spent on, I don't know, operations or events or a variety of things. So in a theoretical budgetary sense, yes, we divert the money. In a literal sense, I don't think this would impact operations if the job came back. It's just that the job is redundant at this point.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions? Please raise your hand now. Seeing none, we will elapse question period and we'll enter into debate period. My apologies. Anybody wishing to speak, please raise your hand now. All right, seeing none, we'll be moving on to voting. I'll be putting the voting form into the chat as always. It is voting form number 3 under Councillor Voting Directions. Is the Councillor Voting Directions document accessible to you all? I just want to make sure.
Yes, it is.
Perfect. Thirty more seconds. Okay, with this, voting has been closed. Has everybody been able to vote? Okay. With 24 votes in favor, 2 oppositions, and 1 abstention, this motion passes. Perfect. So motion 12E has been approved as a consent item unanimously. If that could be added to the agenda. Yeah, thank you. Perfect. So we'll now be moving on to motion 12F. The motion regarding amendments to the standing rules for the 2021 and 2022 Legislative Council.
Just a second. Sorry, that was my mom.
Thank you, Jess. All right. Vice President Paulin and Councillor Kusa, you have the floor.
Awesome. Thank you, Speaker. So this motion, like it literally says in the issue, it comes to clarify some things that the steering committee specifically have noticed when coming to online debate, how it's a little bit different. So if you want to scroll all the way to the bottom, everything that's highlighted are things that have been added. Anything that's stricken through are things that we would like to take off. Just like reiterating how, you know, you have to speak to the speaker when you're in debate, things like the raise hand function, which is, you know, very much this year. So just adding a couple clarifications like that. Also, an important thing that has changed is when it comes to motion writing. This is for a very specific group of people, but the mover and the seconder cannot both be from the steering committee. So just to, you know, make sure there's a bit of diversity there. And unless it pertains like this motion to the like internal workings of Legislative Council itself. So it's laid out there. And I think those are the biggest changes that were made. I'm sure you guys have looked through the motion beforehand. So if there are any questions about specific changes, those can be addressed. But this motion, there's often changes to standing rules. So this is pretty common. It's just stuff that have been noticed and that we wish to fix so the Legislative Council can function more smoothly.
Thank you. With this, we'll now be entertaining questions on this motion. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand now. Councillor Josu.
Thank you. I have a question concerning point 1.20 to the steering committee's discretion up to one motion submitted after the deadline set in 6.2 shall be considered as a late motion at the discretion of the DIES. And I was just wondering, if a motion is submitted late, what are the current standing on it? Is it automatically disapproved? Is it not an urge?
Vice President Bore?
I can be corrected if wrong, but I believe it's up to steering's discretion. I think it's that. So this just makes it a little bit more formal because it sets a precedent of like what should be accepted and what not. I believe it was up to steering's discretion, but now this just makes it a bit more formal and ensures that there are no late motions.
Thank you. I do want to point out for clarity's sake that this clause existed in the previous, in the current standing rules, but was written in a manner that was not very understandable, that myself, I at times couldn't understand the meaning of the sentence. If I'm not mistaken, this was the thought behind this clarification. Councillor Kusa?
Speaker, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've been using this rule in steering committee anyway, so it wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, right? That is true. Within steering committee, it is one late motion that is allowed to be submitted. Okay, with this, any further questions? Seeing none, we'll be moving on to debate period. All those wishing to speak, please raise your hand now. Sometimes a few seconds of awkward silence is all that's needed to motivate debate. Sometimes it doesn't work. This time it did not work. With this, we will be exhausting debate and we'll be moving on to voting. The voting form has been distributed in the Council of Voting Directions and I'll be redistributing it through the chat. Voting has opened. Ten more seconds. We're missing two votes compared to the previous motion and nobody left. So I'm just curious as to why we're missing two votes. If you have a problem, you can let me know now. Just speak up. Tell me, Mr. Speaker, I can't click the button. It doesn't work. No? Okay, I mean, I'll find out who you are through the voting form, but with this, the voting has been closed with 25 responses. We have 23 votes in favor and 2 abstentions and 0 opposed. This motion passes. Congratulations. All right. With this, we have exhausted point 12 of the agenda, and we'll now be moving on to point 13, the reports by committees. Remember, you each have 3 minutes. Starting off with the executive committee report.
Hello. Oh, Yara, did you? Okay. Okay, so I think the executive report is by far the least interesting. It's just a lot of motions. So we hired an external affairs coordinator for VP External, updated the job description of our policy and advocacy coordinator so that she could do more in her role. Hired a human resources coordinator, always good for job hirings. A website project coordinator, interim HR director and consultant, and the approval of the McGill Coalition Against Bill 21 statement that you guys all should have received, as well as hiring a community engagement commissioner to grow the VP external portfolio, as I'm sure you guys have noticed this year, and extend the contracts of some MCERT instructors. So that is the report.
A sprint and a half. Thank you for the very fast report. You can't imagine how much I appreciate it. Are there any questions concerning this report? Seeing none, we'll be moving on to the next report. The report by the Accountability Committee has been postponed, so we'll be moving on to the report by the Gender and Sexuality Advocacy Committee.
I haven't received a report from them, so.
All right. So with this, point 13 of the agenda is exhausted, and we'll be moving on to the council reports. First off, we have the report from the science representative.
Great, thank you. So hello, everyone. I look forward to sharing some updates today on what the SUS has been up to. So just in general, our General Assembly is set for the 16th of February of this year. We've also recently released our appointed committee positions package. So if anyone's interested in applying, then check out our social pages. We're also continuing the planning for our OSE, or Office for Science Education, poster showcase. So again, stay tuned if you're interested on that. And unfortunately, the SUS Gala, which was originally scheduled for early February, has had to be canceled due to the pandemic situation. Moving into some more specific activities related to our various portfolios, academically, we have Academia Week that has begun promotion and is actually commencing next Monday. We're also have a meeting with departmental VP academics throughout the month. In terms of communications and our constitution, there have been updates made not only to our bylaws and constitution, but also on our website, which includes departmental pages, LC and Senate pages, and also committee information. And we have also resumed our PR committee and constitutional affairs committee with the new semester. In terms of science games, we've also unfortunately had to cancel this due to the pandemic. All registrants have been refunded except for the cost of the merchandise, which will be distributed. And the committee is currently exploring alternative activities to hold throughout the semester. In terms of grad ball, the committee is currently hiring. It's part of the appointed positions package that I previously mentioned. And the Science Internal Committee has also had to cancel an event, which was the ski trip, but they are planning for several social media engagement activities, which are beginning actually next week, if I'm not mistaken. In terms of our sustainability portfolio, they are currently carrying out recruitment as well as per our appointed positions package. They're also currently planning Charity Week, and social sustainability, as I said, is currently looking for new members. So that pretty much summarizes the updates for since my last report that I gave last semester. As always, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have or chat if there's anything you'd like to speak about. So feel free to reach out by email, which is below, or on Facebook. So thank you all for listening and looking forward to a great semester.
Thank you very much. All those with a question, please raise your hand now. Seeing none, we can move on to the next report. The report by Councillor Javid.
Hi, everyone. At Steering, we were talking about how to make council reports more engaging.
So I thought I'd start the trend of having council reports in PowerPoint. I don't have any office hours this semester, so you can email me. That's me when I was young. So these are the motions at AUS. We had our first Ledge Council last week. I won't go over the motions, they're linked, but you can also email me if you have any concerns or questions. So the general business of the AUS, we had some governance changes to the bylaws. We elected a new senator, so that's great, Roseanne, and she's already been involved in Senate caucus and is doing amazing work. Sadly, our first year trip got canceled to Carnival. We've also are starting to launch our AUS store. So rugby shirts did super well last semester, and we have another order that just arrived today. So if you want an AUS rugby shirt, feel free to email me. Our VP Academics is also working on note-taking, so course text styles for some of the courses. So it's going to come very soon. She also wants to start a relationship with the alumni and AUS alumni. Our VP Social is recruiting for grad ball. Our VP Comms has decided to do Instagram takeovers. So you'll see each of the execs doing a takeover a day in our lives. So if you want to follow AUS McGill on Instagram and see what I do in my day. We're also getting N95 masks like Snua's. And we have a very important town hall tomorrow regarding online or in-person hybrid learning. In terms of SMU, I sit on board. So HRC met last semester. We haven't met this semester. Health and Dental Review Committee met for the first time this week. A lot of productive things are happening. For SMU committees, I sit on steering. Great fun. Equity committee hasn't met yet. SMU part two. So I'm working with the Coalition Against Bill 2 and Bill 21. So for Bill 2, we're sending listservs with Zoom backgrounds for students to use. And for Bill 21, we're working on a panel, and we've also released a statement in support for the teacher that was let go because of her religious symbol or the religious symbol that she wore. Yara and I are working with the VP Student Life on multiple spaces, so the multi-faith advocacy and quiet space. Yara and I are also working on a note-taking initiative with the VPUA. I've emailed you to start consultation. So if you could please get back to me with that, that would be appreciated. For AUS, XCOM, Curriculum Committee, Ledge Council, an important thing is that the executives have been meeting, and we're going to meet with the Dean of Student Affairs to discuss the process of dealing with sexual violence cases. And I'm also starting a South Asian Student Association. And miscellaneous, I got a new family bird. That's Jasmine. She's a Macau. And that's all for me. If anyone has any questions.
If anybody has any questions, please raise your hand now. VPUA.
What does the family bird eat?
She's actually, should I wait for you to call on me?
Yeah, go for it.
She eats everything. She's about a couple months old, so whatever we eat, she just stares at us and then starts screaming. So a lot of nuts, but she's also eaten biryani. I went downstairs and she was eating chicken. So basically everything.
Thank you. Councillor Kusa.
Could you present a photo of your birds every time you do a presentation?
Councillor Javed.
I mean, this is my last presentation of, last arts rep report to council, but I could send some pictures in the council group chat if people want.
Good compromise.
Councillor Kazi.
Hi, where did you guys get the rugby shirts from?
Councillor Javed.
I don't know off the top of my brain. I think it's from a vendor online. So our VP internal worked with the I'm forgetting their position, but yes, could I pass it on to Yara? Because
yeah, definitely.
Sorry, it's late.
Yara, you have the floor.
Councillor Kazi, so the VP internal worked on it, so feel free to send me a message and I'll send you the website to order the rugby shirts from. Is that what they're called? Rugby shirts. Yeah.
Or if you want to order like SUS, we can get you in touch with VP internal.
Cool. All right. Thank you very much. If there are any further questions. If not, I commend you for the PowerPoint. I think this was by far the best report we've ever had. And I would encourage everybody, nothing to worry about if you don't have the time to make a PowerPoint, but I would encourage you to go ahead and make a fun and interesting presentation, because it also allows the counselors to, in my view at least, understand the information you're trying to say better. And in this case, transferring the message about the rugby shirts, just like that, the small things. With this, we can move on to the next report, which is the report from Councillor Eiley.
I haven't received the report from Councillor Eiley.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I don't really have anything to report. Life in the nursing faculty is kind of mundane these days.
All right, thank you for the update. Worst case, we can move your report to the last meeting of the semester. And that way you'll be able to tell us about everything that happened during the semester.
That would be great, because we have a lot lined up for the semester, but don't know if it will be able to happen given our COVID restrictions within our faculty, so.
Perfect, so we'll do that. I'll move you down the list. All right, we can now move on to Councillor Joseph.
Thank you. Can you just put the timer? I don't want to take too much time.
Of course.
Thank you. So, hi everyone. We had the first varsity council on January 12th, and we talked about the current situation concerning the COVID restriction and how we felt a bit helpless. And we also issued a statement concerning the frustration felt by the athletic community concerning the lack of guidelines. And we encourage you to read the full statement on our Instagram page. As for COVID-19 updates, as of December 21st, 2021, all the activities were canceled, varsity and recreational. The cancellations were renewed on January 4th, but since last Monday, teams were allowed to return to practice in small committees. And fortunately, competition will be able to restart 14 days after the teams are allowed to practice at full squad. And we also want to let you know that recreation activities are also being reallowed. So in downtown campus, you can go for lap swimming, you can do single tennis, badminton, you can rent a basketball hoop, and you can also jog and do some recreational swimming. As for the McDonald campus, you can also do badminton, individual basketball, and recreational skating. If you want to do so, you just have to visit the McGill Athletics website and find all the information you need. As for internal affairs, we're present on January 17th and 18th, where we are allowed to show some of our offer we have. We will have our first for morale building of 2022 on February 1st. And we had our first SAC meeting of the year last 2 days ago. Actually, yesterday. Sorry about that. And just before I go, I just want to highlight the success of some of our fellow students. So Joshua Archibald was selected from the football team, was selected to participate in the College Gurdjieff Showcase in Fort Worth in Texas from January 8th to January 12th. And he is also a member of the top 20 CFI prospects. and we wish the best for him. As for his teammate Pierce Dame, who was selected to another All-Star Bowl in Miami, Florida, that took place in their January 9th, and where he was able to showcase his talent. Really quickly, I also want to let you know that alumni with Philippe Gadon, signed a pro contract, as well as Melody Daou, who actually will be at the Beijing Olympic Games for our third Olympics. And lastly, I just wanted to let you know that the McGill and basketball teams were present at the Carlton's Ritz Hotel to wrap some gift for the committee, for the Montreal Community Cares Foundation. You can see the pictures and you can see more pictures on their Instagram.
Thank you very much, Counselor. If there are any questions, please raise your hand now. Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the next report. Councillor Liao, you have the floor.
Merci, Monsieur President du Conseil, and good evening to the Legislative Council. EdUS would like to wish you guys a good return to campus, even if it's been 3 weeks. So as for the report, the EdUS has approved a second equity commissioner through motion. We have also initiated the nomination period as of January 17th for our next Executive Council. And the EdUS is also finalizing the organization of Speak on Campus that will occur on February 12, 2022. Finally, as for the president's side, we are writing a statement regarding the firing of a professor at Bishop's University that all is under development. For academics, we will have a PED talk about motivation presented by a beloved prof in our department on January 26th. For those who wish to attend, I have very high hopes for Mr. Price, and I hope you guys can attend. BP Comms, we have relaunched our website that has not been updated in 2 or 3 years. It looks beautiful, and I thank them for that. Our VP externals are working on our virtual career fair, and we'll host a spike ball or sports event, replacing the fun run that was canceled earlier last semester. As for the VP Finance, they say that the EdUS 2021 audit will soon be worked on. Internals are planning a trivia night alongside SAPEC in February before students' Fort Field experience, and are currently creating the graduation ball committee. Finally, the last VP, which is student wellness, they plan to create care packages again for this semester, as all of them left the office within the first few hours in December of last year. If there are any points of inquiry, please feel free to contact me or the council by email, Facebook, or office hours by appointment. And I stand for questions.
Thank you very much. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand now. Seeing none, merci beaucoup, and we're going to go to the next report. This is the report of Councillor Desrochers.
Oui, alors bonjour. Bonsoir plutôt. Pour ce qui est des affaires courantes, là, on a repris depuis peu les mardis Moka, oui, en présentiel à la session dernière, mais on essaie de les faire à distance ces temps-ci, là, surtout avec la course au stage qui arrive. Il y a beaucoup de firmes qui sont intéressées à organiser des événements de réseautage avec les étudiants. Également, on continue avec chaque jeudi des coffee hours, qui sont un moment pendant lequel les étudiants peuvent se rassembler. C'est souvent très apprécié. Puis ces temps-ci, je pense que le sujet de l'heure qui a été mentionné plus tôt par Councillor Koussa, il y a eu un rassemblement hier concernant les modalités de reprise de cours. On sait qu'il y a beaucoup de démarches, même en ce moment, pour obtenir un mode hybride au moins pour la session. Il y a beaucoup de profs qui ont été contactés par ce fait dans la faculté, Demain, le doyen est censé tenir une séance d'information puis d'écoute des étudiants à cet égard. Puis il y aura une assemblée générale spéciale si besoin concernant un mandat de grève, si les mesures finalement adoptées par l'administration ne seraient pas suffisantes pour accommoder les étudiants. Certainement là, qu'il y aura plus de nouvelles par rapport à ça là, dans les prochains jours, puis avec le retour en classe. C'est ça. Également, il y a des professeurs qui sont, puis les étudiants également, qui sont inquiets du retour en classe avec les cas qui restent hauts, puis essaient d'accommoder les étudiants avec soit offrir des masques N95 aux étudiants puis aux professeurs pour assurer une plus grande sécurité du corps enseignant et étudiant. Merci. Avez-vous des questions?
Merci beaucoup, conseiller. Si vous avez des questions, s'il vous plaît, levez votre main maintenant. Bon, with this, we'll move on to the next report. This is the report by Councillor Yu. It seems like the dentistry representative has left. Okay. Well then, we'll move on to the next report. And if ever Councillor Hamwenyu comes back, we can go back to this one. With this, Councillor Boyer-Shearer, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, thank you. So as there was no, I did not give a report in the fall. Some of these things go back a ways, but anyway, so for upcoming events, Med Games have unfortunately been moved to the spring. They were supposed to be held in early January, but because of COVID, they have been pushed back. Past things that have happened, Frosh was for the first time organized at the Gatineau campus. It was split between Gatineau and Montreal, two nights in Gatineau and two nights in Montreal. It was went very well, it was very well appreciated by everyone who participated. General council meetings for the MSS, there was one in September where what was discussed was regarding the MSS funding an event specifically for class of 2024. As well as MD-PhD representation, social events, and some information on the sustainability committee. And then there was another meeting on November 17th, where once again, the MD-PhD question came back up and was discussed further, and some stuff about the structure of the IFMSA sort of encompass both campuses was brought up. The MSS had a general assembly on November 30th, where there was two main motions were discussed, one regarding student fee reductions for students at the Uruguay campus for fees that were just not really applicable to these students. And there was also, once again, the question for the MD-PhD that was brought up and was discussed some more. And then in terms of class-specific events that have happened in Gatineau, there's Med 1s have had post-exam events, and Med 2s, we had our white coat ceremony and our end of FMD party before Christmas when things were still possible. And then as for initiatives, VP Finance has been contacting banks and other organizations in the Gatineau area to come give lunch conferences and fund different activities for our cohorts, and has also been discussing with members of faculty for reducing fees that are not applicable to Gatineau students. VP Student Life has been trying to develop some more student spaces in and around the faculty. VP External has been in contact with the University of Ottawa, which is not very far away from the Gatineau campus, in order to coordinate future events between the two groups. And that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there are any questions, please raise your hand now. Seeing none, I see that Councillor Hanwenyu came back, so we can move on with the report.
So it's like there's pretty much nothing going on in terms of DSS. We just had a meeting on January 17, just like see an update on how everyone's doing. And yeah, it was pretty like uneventful. Funding committee, I've been attending the meetings. Basically, there's like a lot of rollover money from the previous COVID years. Health and dental committee, first meeting on January 18th, talked a lot about like student insurance and stuff like that. For the CAPS advisory group, so like the date she proposed or like still like really conflicting with my school schedule, I'm still in discussion with her about like maybe like potential adjustments to the dates. And the CAG group, I've just had like no news from them. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we can continue on with the executive reports, starting with the VP Finance.
Everyone, so I'm going to try and go over this as quickly as possible so that Alex is not annoyed by me going over time as I always do. So we finally closed down accounts with Scotiabank. It was an absolute headache to do, but we finally managed to do it. We had a few left because there were some longstanding payments that we weren't sure if they had been received yet, but we verified that. So we transferred the money out of Scotiabank, reviewed hiring and staff requirements for the five-year plan. And we had discussions with Divest and other groups to simplify how our internal accounting procedures are actually done. We're continuing to set up access for clubs. Banking services contracts should be done, those that were given after the we closed for the winter holiday should be done soon. Club finance coordinator just came back now. Club credit cards should be on their way soon. I discovered that RBC lost our contracts, so I had to resubmit them all. I'm hoping this will be done soon. There was a lot of headaches with RBC that I've managed to finally deal with. The audit deadline, well, I was writing the report, the audit deadline was tomorrow, but now it has passed. But I have some emails in my inbox and from a variety of students who are looking for an extension, I will be granting most of these extensions. So if anyone's been worried about that, do not worry about it. I've been working on the 2023 budget for the coming year. So we've requested departmental budgets from each department. We're going to keep an eye on that. So we're keeping an eye on whether base fee increase may be necessary for the upcoming referendum. I'm hoping not, but as I mentioned before, the absolute state of inflation in this country may single-handedly require a base fee increase. If we were to just account for the CPI, we need... we'd be spending $200,000 more than we did in past years. And we're looking to rework some of our budgetary methods to simplify the production of budgets for specific departments. That's just internal stuff. Funding committee meetings keep going strong. Applications can all be found below my report if anyone's interested. I don't think I put all of them, but I think I put some of them. I'll make sure that my next report's more full with that. The investments, the OADF, which is the Awards of Distinction Fund, is enabling us to offer around 15K for Awards of Distinction for this year. So we're hopefully going to be increasing by a further 5K by the end of the fiscal year based on how our investments do. And I'm looking to edit the internal regulations of finance to increase the amount of Awards of Distinction, because currently we can only give up to $8,000 and we have way more to give than that this year. And as Eric presented earlier today, we're exploring a possible partnership with the Scarlet Key for this. We met with the McGill administration to discuss two referendum questions. I managed to convince them that the 9-lane question was good, but there was an issue with the must-bus question. So the must-bus fee was actually not levied this year. We're looking to alternative funding opportunities for must-bus for this semester, and hopefully we'll be rerunning it this referendum. It's unfortunate, but sometimes wording issues happen and McGill is very headstrong about it. I'm going to rush through the rest. Did a bunch of stuff with daycare, with unions and stuff. And then my projects, we're looking to change our budgetary practices. We're looking on the membership fee as I described. And I'm looking to bring two motions, hopefully for next ledge, maybe the ledge after for fee consolidation and for the fee funded funds in the COVID surplus there.
We're right on time, Eric. Okay. We'll move on to the next report. The report by the VP Student Life.
Hi, everyone. As you can tell, I'm not the VP Student Life, but I will be giving the report on behalf of Carla because she had to leave. And I am available for questions because we ran through the content. In regards to student groups, there is an ongoing mediation between a student and a student group that shall remain confidential due to a conflict. The Triple Play platform that our VP Student Life found and got a contract with is now available for all student groups for free, which is great because it's going to allow student groups to interact with members and still keep Student Life going while we're online. Club audit is ongoing. Student group internal regulations are still under consultation and will be presented in February at the next Legislative Council. Obviously, Activities Night for winter 2022 happened and it was a great success. Obviously, as you saw from the earlier motions, Carly's been working on the replanning of operations for winter 2022 and looking at conducting an executive social. In regards to mental health, Carl took part in the mental health roundtable, and after a little bit of discussion, wants to put together a summary of resources guide. The mental health team is looking into doing a virtual retreat, and the Student Life portfolio is looking to conduct a mental health action week events. Furthermore, they've been working on resource evaluation of SMU for services related to mental health and how we can bolster that to better care for students. In regard to family care, met with the subcommittee on December 14th regarding the possible expansion of the SMU daycare more long-term, and has started working actually with the External Affairs Policy and Mobilization Researcher on consultations to renew the family care policy and looked at how we could update it for it to actually benefit family care. In regards to projects, there's a possible partnership with Concordia, well, with CSU for events end of February, depending on the whole COVID situation. Furthermore, as we've seen, Triple Play has very successfully been partnering with SMU and really helping us through the contract for Mondays, which is a possible event set of events for activities nights and activity and student group events. SMU portal phase one and two to be launched this semester. So forms and events for clubs and the Student Life portfolio hired two employees to work part-time on the project. As we heard earlier from Eric, a possible partnership with the Scarlet Key. As you heard from other earlier reports, looking at new spaces in the university center, which I'm not going to list because I'm running out of time. SMU and Gertz merch arrived and e-commerce is going to be launched. And I got to say, it looks fantastic. Website updates should be done by February. Mini courses are back. You can register now. They're amazing. And Mondays is what I mentioned earlier, set of events that should be once a week. And read the rest. Thank you very much. Sorry, Alex.
Thank you, Vice President. You know your time's up when I pop out. All right, we'll move on to the next. Oh, no. Are there any questions towards this report? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next report. The report from the VP University Affairs.
Hi, everyone. So this report is attempts to summarize what I've been up to for the past little over a month. But I also stand for any questions. This is a little bit like thinner than other reports, but it was very hard to remember what was done in earlier weeks. But this is what's been going on. What's taken up most of my time over the past week has been planning for mass distribution. So we released a statement announcing that we would be distributing masks on a pay what you can basis to students. We are getting ready to announce more details about this, so please stay tuned in your email and on our social media. I've been working with Counselor Javed and Counselor Kusa on SMU run note taking. The consultations we've had so far suggested that it might be a better use of our time to support faculty and departmental level note taking programs, but consultations are continuing. A huge thank you to both of these counselors for their work on this. There's been, as everyone was aware, there were issues in the field house with exams during the fall exam period, There was also an uptick in people who had issues with OSD administered exams. So there was some individual casework there, as well as trying to figure out how to prevent those issues in the future. I assisted very minorly in the distribution of the statement from the McGill Coalition Against Bill 21. Thank you, especially to Councillor Javed for her work there. These were the other meetings I have been in. I had, Senate yesterday was pretty spicy. I would encourage everybody to check it out if you have time. Suzanne Fortier made some interesting comments about the state of the pandemic and depressing world we live in. We had a new art senator take office, Risan. She is also the new student rights researcher and advocacy commissioner. She's fantastic. If you're in arts, I encourage you to reach out to her. And thank you, Adrienne, for her years of service in the SRAC role. And I stand for questions.
Thank you very much. If anybody wishes to ask a question, please raise your hand now. All right, seeing that, we'll move on to the next report. VP External, you have the floor.
Thank you, long time no see. So I'm gonna try to run through this same in a timely manner. Hi again, everyone. Over the last month, the External Affairs team has been working on increasing External Affairs accessibility because the portfolios, students feel a little bit detached from the portfolio. That is being done through the form of a digital infrastructure, which I'll speak more about later, but should be released soon, which is very exciting. Planning motions for the winter referendum, that same I'll be speaking about a bit later. Reviewing the McGill anti-Black racism plan. Creation of a possible external representation committee so that there's a committee to advocate and really make the decisions on our relationships with other student unions and external groups. Very particularly what comes to mind is UCRU. UCRU is a coalition of the 10 most research intensive university student unions to do advocacy. And next year, fee levy for UCRU is scheduled to be proposed, which is why having an external representation committee would be very exciting. We've been reviewing the advocacy section of the master plan, and I've been helping VP Downing to the best of my ability for the return to campus, and I must say she's doing a fantastic job. Important updates, the UCRU Lobby Week is happening next week. The topics are student financial aid, supporting student employment, improving mental health support, and supporting students with disabilities. Lots of exciting meetings with MPs. The policies are drafted. SMU took a large part in the drafting, but also the translation. So thank you to SMU and University of Ottawa's SU communications teams for the translations, especially on such short notice. And the first round of training is complete. We've been doing training for UCRU for the last little bit. The digital infrastructure that I was speaking about is focused on rebranding the external affairs portfolio with a new set of colors, amongst other things, a new logo, rebuilding the website from A to Z, and creating, updating, and having a system for regular and templated posting on social media, as well as reviewing our internal structure within the portfolio. That's going to benefit student groups and affiliated campaigns immensely on the long term, because we're going to be able to have a more accessible and larger platform to advocate on their behalf. In regards to governance, policy and mobilization researcher previously mentioned has been onboarded. It's Greg Cooper. They're absolutely fantastic. Also the gender and sexuality commissioner and the external affairs commissioner, not coordinator anymore, has been onboarded and hard at work. I will skip over the important meetings because I'm sure you can read that for yourself. And in other news, long-term portfolio plans are being built so that there's a little bit more of a direction for future years. Consultations are going to be completed, especially with other portfolios, to make sure it still ties with what SMU's doing, and upcoming projects for referendum that I'll be bringing in the form of motion really soon. So this is kind of a heads up. as well as not for referendum, sorry, is the consultation policy that I've been working on with Juliette, the policy and advocacy coordinator of possible Black Affairs fee levy, and as I said, an external representation committee. Sorry, Mr. Speaker.
All good. Thank you. And finally, we'll have a VP Internal Affairs.
Questions for this report?
Thank you, Jazz. Are there any questions for the report of the VP External Affairs? Seeing none, we'll move on to the VP Internal Affairs.
Awesome. I love going last. Okay, so what I've been doing for the past couple months. So big things, I've been taking up a lot of my time on my projects because they're very long. So I'm working on a data collection and protection policy that I'm going to present at the GRC next week. So just finishing up some extra sections that I think would benefit the policy. Wrote the two motions that were presented today. I'm working on a media and transparency plan that is in its final stages. I basically just have to write the motion for it to present it. And a lot of my time has been 5-year plan. I'm working on the operations and staffing side of it. And I've started writing the document that suggests all the edits. Spin, well, we're back online, which is lovely. But we had a first meeting and we've decided to do small scale events, hopefully like one a month. Our first one, we just decided Tuesday is gonna be like a Valentine's Day speed dating thing. So should be pretty fun. For the Francophone Affairs, we had our first meeting Monday, and it's going great. We have a lot of great ideas that are going to come about, including the revamping of the Francization plan. Communications, just same old, working on making our social media as interactive as possible. First Year Affairs, I had a check-in with the First Year Affairs Commissioner. There was a First Year Council meet and greet back in December, and we are sending out a when to meet. I think our meetings are going to be Wednesdays. Apart from that, just a bunch of check-ins and weekly meetings. That is all.
Rapid. All right. Any questions concerning the report of the VP Internal Affairs? Seeing none, we'll now be exhausting point 15 of the agenda and moving to point 16, the confidential session. At this time, I'll ask all the members of the gallery to please leave the meeting. There's nothing after the confidential session. You can, of course, come back once we're done for the adjournment, but it won't serve any purpose. And we will be entering into confidential.